Sleep Dystopias, Episode 2, Rule of the Jungle, written by Sakivu Hutchinson. Do you? Can you hear that sound? A ticking in the building, getting louder in my head as I run up the stairs. 5, 6, 7, 8. Don't tell me you can't hear it. The guard is one floor below, radioing for backup. See, most nights, before my master escaped, before I went to find him, I was at the same perch in the kitchen window, watching all of you. I like to stare out onto the brown lawn of late summer in our trailer park, watch it dwindle into fire ant infestation, pesky vermin. Not my kind of bugs at all. I prefer them fat and live wire, insects verging upon reptile, water bugs, black widows, pregnant centipedes wriggling in my hands, anything I can sink my teeth in. My master's got me when I was 20, I believe. My papers might have been forged to make me seem younger. In the underground market for rare beasts, older men harder to housebreak, to coax and domesticate. Older meant deeper memories, battle wounds, regrets. The masters, they walked rows of fresh off the boat inventory, salivating over the smorgasbord, because there were so many other choices they could have made besides me. So many different body types, appetites, personalities, histories, but it was I who struck their fancy. I was a special animal, gifted with supersonic hearing, smooth skin, high cranial capacity. They'd never seen the likes of me, which is why I made my special direct pitch at the shelter, pacing the floor of my cage seductively, giving the female of the species a deep, fluffy gaze, tossing the male of the species a cold stare, divide and conquer, flatter and repel. Yes, I was the envy of my fellow inmates, white hot with longing when I bid them farewell. Of course, I wanted to be loyal to the masters, to be the bestest, the mostest, the premier beast in the jungle, aching to be stroked, to be seen. After they moved me in, I noticed certain things about the male, his gun collection, his preening in the mirror, the way he paraded around naked so I could see him in all his furry glory. He was building something, he bragged, patting me under the chin as he pried open my back, inserting, connecting wires. You don't understand me, he said, not knowing how wrong he was. See, in the shelter, I'd mastered their language, the syntax, grammar, turns of phrase, schooled by another beast who'd lived among them for a while. At night, my masters argued, ripping each other apart about the light bill, the toilet seat being up, the panhandling she did at the gas station, the time she spent away from home, looking for jobs. The map he was drawing at all hours, crammed into the bathroom with a case of beer on his knees. The map said something about revelations. A chapter from this raggedy big black book he quoted from, carried one in his pocket to work installing cold machines called air conditioners. We had an air conditioner in the trailer, but it broke down that summer. Even they couldn't fix it. It kept babbling out numbers and things, what they called future predictions. They banged on it and told it to shut the fuck up, then junked it when it didn't obey. I felt sorry for it. But see, it didn't know the rule of the jungle, have a purpose or be exterminated. See, Master said the sun was going to burn out one day and the government would shoot it right through the heart. Kersplat. The Black Book told him so. He said he snuck and read it on service calls, working in this federal building place, repairing all the cold machines. When he took me between his legs to calm himself after a long day, I could feel the rage thrumming through him. I'd always get fed real good afterwards. Not the usual dried up kibbles and bits or table scraps, but calcium packed stuff. A femur here, a tibia there. Memorabilia from his travels. The sound started then. I woke up one morning and it was there, ticking, low as a dog whistle. A hippocampus pinprick getting louder. Can you hear it? Tell me you can. I digress. I could see lots of things from my perch above the kitchen sink. Pods my masters call families doing their business, moving things in and out of their campers. Early in the morning, other families replaced them. Parasites who couldn't pay their rent, he growled, late for work, and yelping at the female over the money they owed the tax man. Always picking our pockets, shit-eating vultures, he spat at them on the phone. Collection calls flooded them noon and night. When our water got shut off, Master took some from the neighbor's house, softly, cutting through the bushes so as not to wake them up, squirting it into the big pot he used to boil meat in, a smell that took over the whole camper. One day the female just upped and left because of it, or was it due to how close he and me became, like we could read each other's minds, kin to each other. In his room, I straddle his leg and lick his gunpowder fingers, listening to the bubbling on the stove like a lullaby. When the gas company came to cut the heat off, he marched in the courtyard, rebel yelling to the moon and stars about how he'd defend the fort against interlopers. Are you sure you can't hear it? After she left, the day stretched out longer. I'd wait for his return, bracing at the door for the pitter-patter of paws as he came back from his meetings with the other masters he called patriots. At night, he tossed and turned in his bulletproof vest, talking in his sleep about chasing birds. The exact layout of the third floor office where the boss sat on his ass, barking out orders to the underlings. They got a hair more than minimum wage, installing coal machines from sea to shining sea, he said, holding me close, whispering about our destiny, a brass knuckle fist closing over his brain. I kept watch over him until he woke up, never straying. Except for once, to check to see if the coal machine was really gone and dead. No, I couldn't have rivals. Tick, tick, tick. He'd begun to follow the boss home. At first, accidentally getting off on the same exit, tailing him till he got to his cul-de-sac. Sitting in front of his big old brick house with three gables and a chimney that belched out all the evil he did to the rank and file pups, grinding their $8 an hour down to dust. I knew every inch of the office building from the map he showed me, how every cubicle and trash can was arranged, the dusty, rusty water in the hall fountains, the death march of every wall clock, the urinal chit-chat about football, the carnal knowledge they were losing their minds over, pissing on God and the holy black book, he said. I waited up for him later and later, the food in my bowl down to scraps. I got so hungry, I started to see double. There was another beast in waiting, just like me, in a kitchen window, across the courtyard. Same nose, same fingers, same lips, same pale skin stare, preparing for a long night at the foot of Master's bed, his smell on its teeth. One morning, they came with padlocks and a chain-link fence, and I rushed them the way Master had taught me, biting their legs and growling like a whole beast army, doing him right proud. Except he didn't come back that night or the next. I kept watch over the bed in the dark, put the female's personal effects in the trash can for good, waited, the sound roaring in me. I went out to find him, tracking his scent all the way to the office complex, through the back streets, the signposts so familiar, even though they were in this mutt language and the traffic sounds were making my ears bleed. I dropped down on all fours, barely skittered past the guards and security, up the stairs. Everything just like Master's maps, down to a T. The sound drowning out the guard's command to stop. Up, up, over the tap of keyboards, printers, pink slips, up, up, to the lair of Master's boss. And my Homo sapien skin is burning now, but I don't see Master among all the other slaving mutts. He told me we'd always be together. He lied. Cross your heart and hope to die, he whispered. A special mission and we could be immortal together, Master and beast, hand and paw. It's ticking. Rule of the Jungle was written and performed by Sikivu Hutchinson, with original guitar performed by Sikivu Hutchinson. And special thanks to the Morrock Music Academy studio in Gardena. Pleasant dreams.